with love for you, through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, hello. For those who already know me and don't know me, my name's Becky. Usually I would be doing the toast. So thank you for the people that are standing into the breach today and then helping. As Marion said, I'm going to be starting doing a licensed lay ministry course in September, which is all very exciting, if a little bit scary. So it's really nice that I've got you guys here as my guinea pigs, because you are the ones who've welcomed me in the last 3 years when I moved to Ely. As some of you already know, in my day job, I'm a teacher in a special school based in the sixth form with 16 to 19 year olds. And there is one pupil in the school who looks severely undernourished. Yet every day he comes into school with a big bag of food, and every day he eats all of that food. He chooses not to eat the school dinner that he's provided with. That healthy lunch goes in the bin, and he tucks into the food from his bag. I asked him one morning if I could have a little look in his bag. Inside there was a whole chocolate orange, that's the size of a tennis ball, a family-sized pack of crisps, a tube of Pringles, and a six-pack of chocolate mini rolls. Now, even for a teenager, eating that amount of junk is no mean feat. I asked him, will you eat all of that today, all by yourself? Yes, miss, he responded. I was intrigued as to how he remains, frankly, quite skeletal while eating all of this on a regular basis. And I suppose it's evidence that this junk is no substitute for the nutrients that we can get from healthy food that our bodies need for us to thrive, grow and heal. We can be physically starving even though we cram a lot of junk in. Now today we heard some more about Jacob, the son of Isaac and Rebekah, and the younger twin brother of Esau. The name Jacob translates as cheater or schemer, and he has done a fair bit of this in the lead up to today's passage. For example, before he was even born, in the womb he grabbed his brother Esau's heel to, it would seem, try to pick him to the post and get the birthright of the firstborn. He exploited Esau's weaknesses by offering him lentil stew in exchange for his birthright when his brother was ravenous from being out hunting. He feigned hairiness to impersonate his twin and trick his own father Isaac on his deathbed to steal Esau's blessing, the great hairy arm swindle. In a time when it was unheard of to go against tradition, Jacob expected allowances to be made to satisfy his desires, choosing the younger, more alluring bride Rachel over her older sister. Needless to say, he's left some furious relatives behind as he hot-footed his way to safety. This is the point I can imagine where an Old Testament equivalent of Jeremy Kyle would just love to arrange a family reunion. And even when he does acknowledge and is supposedly in awe of God's presence in his life after the Jacob's ladder dream, he still thought he could manoeuvre things so that his life could be on his terms, saying in effect to God, I will serve you on the condition that you give me everything I want. So we meet him today as he reaches a turning point in his life, culminating in an overnight wrestling bout. After the hairy arm swindle, Jacob has continued for many years, decades in fact, reliant on himself, ducking and diving through life, making money, but struggling to make friends. Jacob is on the run from Rachel's father and from his brother Esau. Although over the years Jacob has been quite successful in many ways, he is still feeling pretty desperate. He's quite literally stuck between a rock and a hard place. He's been trying to find satisfaction by grabbing for what he wants rather than relying on God. Jacob is spiritually starving, even though he's crammed a lot of junk in. Jacob feels that Esau will kill him, so wisely he sends his family and possessions ahead with some gifts of restitution to smooth the path for him while he is left alone. It's only when Jacob decides to face the music with his brother that God finally sorts him out during an all-night wrestling bout. Throughout that night, Jacob wrestles with the man he does not recognise. He asks who the stranger is, no answers forthcoming at first. Now, the person is initially referred to as a man in verses 24 to 25, but after Jacob has agreed the truce and asked for a blessing, we read, "You have wrestled with God." Also in Hosea, we're told, "Jacob wrestled with the angel and won. He cried and asked for his blessing." So they wrestle. God in the form of an angel versus Jacob and his conscience, or God's will versus Jacob's will, perhaps. That certainly resonates with me when I look back on my own experiences. Times when I felt those pangs of spiritual hunger, despite cramming lots of junk in. As we grow and develop, change can come about as we gather new information or experiences. But transformation tends to take place when we let go of something. Maybe a particularly problematic sin that pervades in our lives. Habits that we've been unwilling to give up, even though they keep us far from God. Compulsive behaviour or addictions. Relationships or perhaps a career that leads us to behave and act in ways that we cannot reconcile to our conscience. Letting fear of being criticised, disliked or passed over stand in the way of acting with love for others and with integrity. It can be easy to find ourselves scrabbling around, trying to manage our own lives, holding on to those things as if they were our life buoys. We can easily find ourselves loving these comforters a bit too much, placing them over our relationship with God. Without even noticing, we start to pitch our will against God's will. As dawn came near, the unknown man agreed to give Jacob a blessing in exchange for being released. And through the act of letting go, Jacob earns the blessing. He's actually worked for this, a far cry from when, as a younger man, he stole his father's blessing from Esau. So Jacob receives the new identity, no longer Jacob, cheater, schemer, but Israel, meaning wrestles with God, because he has wrestled with God, with man and the stranger, and he's come through this. And through his experience, that wrestling between his self-will and God's will, Jacob has come to a place where he's ready to submit to God. Perhaps we can look at Jacob's experiences as a dark night of the soul, a total collapse of his previous perception of life, leaving him in a state where nothing makes sense anymore, and where suddenly the things that previously seemed so important have no purpose. This can put us in a dark and fear-filled place, feeling as if the ground has been swept from under us. But this dark place is also one where we can see God's guiding light shining brighter than from any place of comfort. The power to transform can be found in that darkness, in our questioning and self-doubts, because these open us up to God and to change and to growth. Many people have found themselves with that gift of desperation and have emerged from the darkness into a completely transformed state of thinking and awareness where life has new meaning for them. They have a deepened sense of connection with God. It's a rebirth of sorts, a conversion, a transformation. Jacob has died a kind of death, and what has died is his old sense of self. Jacob the deceiver, Jacob the schemer. The Jacob who based his life, his actions, his relationships, all around manipulating the world and people to fit in with his will. But nothing of eternal value, nothing worth having, has actually died. And although it must have been frightening and painful, Jacob needed to go through this experience in order to bring about an awakening and awareness of God's presence in life and to go on to do the work that God had in store for him. So Jacob is transformed. He receives the gift of desperation that for so many people, me included, is in retrospect the biggest blessing they could ever receive. It got Jacob's attention, all right. No doubt at the time, Jacob thought, this is the end. But his desperation pushed him to a place where he was ready to cooperate. The once willful Jacob doesn't argue or question the name change or what he's told to do. He's ready to accept whatever God says. To trust, even though he couldn't see or understand how God's plan will work. Jacob is left with an injured thigh muscle. This is one of the most powerful muscles in the body. He wouldn't be able to rely on running away or fighting his way out of trouble. From now on, he would need to rely on God's strength and God's resources. Of course, God is always our most powerful resource anyway. So in relying on God rather than his own will, Jacob would in fact be stronger than ever before. Limp or no limp. God saw through all of Jacob's weaknesses and faults, just as he does ours, and he saw Jacob's potential. It's always hard to imagine just how God can and will use us if we are willing. Perhaps the more stubborn amongst us need to work quite hard on that willingness. I know that after doing things the Becky way, at times I can feel tempted to take back the reins. My thoughts might turn to seeking comfort in chocolate, or worse for me anyway, a drink, or some pretty new shoes, or a dress that I don't really need, or distracting myself with a bit of gossip or another that's being flouted around over social media, or perhaps just indulging in a good dose of self-pity. I've learned that when I'm in a place of disturbance, it's usually because I'm not looking to God for my answers. I know from experience that it's important for me that I start each day asking God for willingness to do his will. So far, whenever I've asked for it, I've received it. But unfortunately, there will always be the odd day when I get distracted by trivialities, and despite my best intentions, forget to send up that prayer. Those days do not go so well. Last night, there was a spider stuck in my bathtub. It was at risk of being drowned. And surprisingly to me, it did not seem to appreciate my attempts to rescue it and remove it to a place of safety. And I know that I myself have not always been so keen on letting God lift me up and set me back down in the unknown, because the unknown can be very worrying. But I need to trust and have faith that God sees the bigger picture. He knows what lays beyond my metaphorical bathtub. He understands us and our needs better than we do ourselves. And as Jacob and countless others have found, when we do place our trust in God and seek the fruits of the Spirit, two and two will always be more than four. We receive not just what we need, but an abundance of it to share amongst the people we meet in our everyday lives. Today in Matthew we heard how Jesus instructed the disciples to go amongst people and give them something to eat rather than send them away hungry. They looked at what they already had and couldn't see how what little they had would ever be enough. But once Jesus had worked his miracle, blessing and breaking the loaves for his disciples, they found there was enough to feed the crowds. They all ate and were filled. Through going ahead and doing the only thing that actually they really could do at the time, trusting, they received what they didn't know they needed, and far more than they ever would have hoped for. Our Father, God, knows our needs more than we know them ourselves. And he loves each of us far more than we love ourselves. But like Jacob, we need to turn ourselves away from the junk in our lives, away from the lure of instant or worldly gratification, and set our hearts instead on the smorgasbord of spiritual sustenance that God offers us, to trust in him that our needs will be met. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that we may be freed from the bondage of self to go forward into the coming week, trusting in you and accepting your will for us as Jacob did, resisting the temptation to reach for the junk of life. May we be full of gratitude for the fruits of the Spirit which nourish and sustain us, and be blessed with an eagerness to be as generous with these fruits as the disciples were with the loaves and fishes. May we walk in grace, seeking to do your will. Amen.